This past week was World Kindness Week. Wednesday was World Kindness Day. Kindness Day was begun in 1998 to encourage people to pay attention to and become aware of the many opportunities we have to be kind and to practice deliberate acts of kindness. It is practiced in 28 countries around the world, including here in the U.S. A maternity nurse dressed all the little babies in knitted mini cardigans and sneakers and invited Mrs. Rogers, Mr. Rogers' widow, to come and visit them. Do you remember all those high school after-school specials in which there are a group of popular mean kids? They only allow certain people into their clique of sports or music or whatever the popular thing is specific to the show. And more often than not, there is this awkward kid that just does not fit in. The popular kids find ways to avoid and exclude the awkward kid. But then there is this kind popular kid who, with superhuman compassion, finds a way to include the awkward kid in a way that benefits all of them. And when we are watching these shows, we are always convinced that we or our children will be that kind, compassionate kid when faced with similar circumstances. But in reality, we know deep in our hearts that we are often the mean popular kids. I know I have been. Because those sorts of situations are not just limited to high school and middle school. In our deeply polarized country, it is very easy to just stick with those people we know and agree with. It is so much easier to exclude or ignore the needs of others, especially if we view them as being different. We have to stop seeing each other as labels, often dehumanizing labels, and begin to see each other as people whose hopes, fears, and dreams are as real as our own. When we talked about belonging last month, we realized how key it was to what motivates us. We want to belong. We may sacrifice integrity sometimes for belonging. Our need to fit in to belong sometimes overrides our ability to be kind. And yet every day we are given opportunities to be kind, but we do not always take them. I was reading about this experiment of seminary students. The experimenters were trying to determine whether kindness or helping behaviors was due to personality or situationally contextual. The experimenters had the students fill out a personality assessment to determine the motivation for the students to be in seminary to begin with. Were they in it for prestige? Were they in it because they wanted to help the world? And then second, they gave the students an assignment. One group of students were to research the story of the Good Samaritan and be prepared to give a presentation on that story. The second group were given another biblical story that didn't involve a helping response. The students were then told they had to give their presentations in a building across the campus. One group of students were told that they were going to be very late for that presentation. The second group were told that they weren't going to be late, but there was very little time between the sessions. And the third group was told they had plenty of time to get to the presentation. Between the original building and the presentation building was a confederate of the experimenters. He was lying injured in an alley that the students would need to take to get from the first building to the second building. All the rest of the experiment was really window dressing. What the experimenters wanted to know was how many people would stop and help. The three factors they thought that would play into the scenario were the motivation these students had for going to divinity school. Were they doing it for prestige or wanting to be helpful in the world? Whether they had helping thoughts in their mind, because after all, they just prepared this story on the Good Samaritan that they were going to present at the second building. And the third factor was how much time they had to get from the first building to the second building. Only one factor played into whether they stopped and helped. Can you guess which one it was? Time. You know this. The one factor that made any difference at all was if they thought they had enough time to get from the first building to the second building. The most students who stopped were those who thought they had enough time. We know most of us are guilty of this. We do not stop because something else is more important or more urgent. We need to go somewhere or do something. In a society in which efficiency and speed are paramount, and finishing that project or getting to our next appointment, meeting, or lecture are so urgent, we forget. We forget to stop. We forget to pay attention. Kindness is hard. Barbara Taylor and Adam Phillips, in their book on kindness, write, "The pleasure of kindness is that it connects us with others. The terror of kindness is that it makes us too immediately aware of our own and other people's vulnerabilities. Kindness opens us up to the world of other people in ways we both long for and dread. Kindness is about paying attention to the needs of others. That is not always easy, even to those with whom we have the most intimate relationships." John Gottman, who runs the Love Lab, he tracks the longevity of married couples, how long they stay married. Gottman observes the interactions of couples in various controlled interactions in the lab, and then tracks the couple over the course of their marriage. Through his observations of the couple in the lab, Gottman can predict 94% accuracy whether a couple, gay, straight, rich, poor, with children or childless, will be broken up or happy several years later. What is it that keeps couples together? What keeps them together is that they brought to those interactions in the lab a spirit of kindness and generosity, rather than contempt, hostility, or criticism. When we first moved into our intentional community years ago, there was a honeymoon period where everyone was pretty nice to each other because we had just finished this amazing task of working together to build and move into this really great community. But also because of that, tensions were really high because we still had a lot left to accomplish, including designing and building our common house. The community life team decided to initiate a month of kindness. It was like Secret Santa. Those who chose to participate, and it wasn't mandatory, picked a name out of a hat, and for a month, you had to do small, anonymous acts of kindness for the person you picked. At the end of the month, we found out who got us and who we were doing. As we were picking out the names, I was thinking there was this one person I did not want to get because she annoyed the heck out of me. As the hat was being passed around, I kept on thinking, not this person, not this person, not this person. And you know who I picked, right? I picked the one person I did not want to get. So I had to be kind to her for a month. You have no idea how that can change your attitude towards someone. We are not necessarily inherently kind, but we can learn. In the book on kindness, it is not that real kindness requires people to be selfless. It is rather that real kindness changes people in the doing of it, often in unpredictable ways. Kindness is a way of knowing people beyond our understanding of them. The person I chose actually became one of my dearest friends. Over the years, we wrote together. I edited her story. She critiqued mine. We helped each other out a lot. I learned so much about her, and I learned to appreciate her. A talented seamstress, she was the one who did all the measurements for my ordination robes. And she still remained someone who annoyed me profoundly. But I learned to love her. Kindness is not niceness. All those students who walked over the injured person were probably nice people. Most of the members of those couples in the experiment were probably nice. All of us, I am thinking, going out on a limb, are nice people most of the time. But we are not always kind. We can be nice, polite, civil, and calm, and still remain indifferent, sarcastic, or cruel. We cannot be kind and be all those things. In her book, A Year of Living Kindly, Donna Cameron writes, being kind means caring. It means making an effort. It means thinking about the impact I'm having in an interaction with someone and making it rich and meaningful. Giving them what they need in that exact moment without worrying whether I will get something in return. It means letting go of my judgments and accepting people as they are. It demands I reach out and take a risk. Kindness is hard, but it can be cultivated. Mostly it requires paying attention, slowing down, and being thoughtful. In a world where everything can be done in an instant, where social media allows us to respond to any number of things and remain largely anonymous and not responsible for our impact on others, especially others we do not know, it is important to cultivate kindness. One of the hardest things we can do to cultivate kindness is to stop and pause. The pause, this simple moment of stopping before saying, typing, or doing something, of taking time to thoughtfully reflect, can mean the difference between kindness, indifference, and cruelty. In that moment, we can ask ourselves if what we are about to say is true, fair to all concerned, meant to build goodwill and friendship, and will benefit all who are concerned. Sometimes that pause will stop us from doing or saying things that we might regret. It can be the difference between doing something mean or using restraint and not acting at all. When not acting, not responding, is the kindest thing. Never underestimate a thoughtful pause. Empathize with and judge others compassionately. Try and put yourself in another's place. We can never know what others are struggling with at any given time. I think this one is the most difficult thing. Be kind to yourself and accept the kindness of others graciously. Often we are much harder on ourselves than we are on others, but we deserve kindness both from ourselves and from others too. And then practice random acts of kindness for no reason at all except to be kind. I put an insert in your order of service with suggestions. Here is the thing. The more we practice kindness, the kinder we become. And kindness is contagious. The kinder we are, the kinder those around us become also. The final thing I learned about kindness is that it's good for you. Health studies have shown that simple acts of kindness elevate dopamine, release endorphins and oxytocin. The release of oxytocin reduces the levels of free radicals in our system and contributes to heart health. We know that intuitively. We know that kindness improves our heart health because it makes us more thoughtful, loving people. We will not always be able to love everyone. We may not even be able to like them, but we can be kind. Amen and blessed be.